Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Hello again, friends, brothers, and sisters. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're going all the way to Australia for today's guest, and it's such a blessing to reconnect with Pastor Dean Dwyer. He is, again, the pastor of Iser Street Baptist Church, the website iserstreetbaptistchurch.com in Toowoomba, Australia. So we're going to spend a lot of time in Harbinger's Daily today because he is a great contributor there. And I also want to mention, for those of you that have missed maybe a handful of podcasts in the last week or so, we have now added two new speakers to the conference lineup. That's Alex Newman with Liberty Sentinel and Brianna Clausen with Harbinger's Daily. She's the chief editor there, and she is from Canada, but she'll be coming to Green Bay, Wisconsin for the conference May 1st and 2nd, and we've got the website up and running. There it is, WorldviewMattersConference.com, WorldviewMattersConference.com. Dean Dwyer, it's a blessing to see you, brother. Thanks for your time today.
Always a privilege. G'day to everybody from the land down under.
Yes, and before we were on getting on the podcast here, we had a conversation about just the leadership there, which we will touch on, and I'm sure it's very disappointing to you as an evangelical Christian who believes in the Bible and religious freedom to see what's happening with basically a communist in charge there as the prime minister, Anthony Albanese. There's two different articles we're going to get to. This is one that you wrote a couple weeks ago. It didn't take long for Australia's pro-Palestine mob to reemerge with violent rhetoric. Let's get to this second. The first one we want to go to, because there are some very interesting stats in this one over at Harbinger's Daily. As Australia pushes Christian voices out of public debate, the nation is reaching a moral flashpoint. This is by Decision Magazine, and it's at Harbinger's Daily. So, Dean, let's just touch on this one before we dive into yours, please. Just go ahead.
Absolutely. Well, as you touched on, David, unfortunately, Australia's been in a great spiritual and moral slide for the last number of decades. I mean, you go back to the Australia of 100 years ago, Australians, and particularly Australian soldiers, were very well respected around the world. Tough, uncompromising people who stood up for what is right, stood up for moral values, and of course, Christian values as well. Now, in Israel in particular, Australians were very well respected. There's a war memorial at Beer Sheba, because Australian soldiers were instrumental in pushing the Ottomans out of Israel, which then opened up, obviously, God's plan to re-establish Israel in its ancient homeland. So Australians, particularly amongst Israelis, have been really well respected from that point of view. And we see, if we apply the Genesis 12:3 principle, that God had really blessed Australia because we were so instrumental in helping the rebirth of Israel in that plan. Now, subsequent to that, we see over the decades, like many Western nations, unfortunately, and as the title says, as Christian voices are pushed out of the public square, and you could argue in some cases, and you've talked about this on the show before, in some cases we've retreated from the public square, in other cases we've been pushed out. So it's incumbent upon us to be able to identify which has happened, because in a retreat scenario, obviously, we bear the blame for not being as actively engaged in the cultural wars as we should be. But no doubt politicians have taken advantage of that very fact. And unfortunately, as we know, in a spiritual vacuum, something else is going to fill it if Christianity withdraws. And so what we see now, obviously, is secular humanism. And as we touched on, some of the communistic principles that have come through, because as Trevor Loudon has written about, Anthony Albanese has a very, very long history going back to his university days with communist activism. So he's carried this through, obviously, into his political career, and very friendly with China. And so, unfortunately, we see not only in some states in Australia, but also federally, we have Christianity pushed out, and obviously secular humanism and some elements of communism coming to the fore. So as a Christian, obviously, we hold some concern over the direction of the nation and, above all else, concern over the spiritual landscape of Australia and what this means in terms of going forward as Christian leaders, because we just don't feel that our voices are valued within the public square anymore. And like many Western nations, that's been absolutely deliberate, but it's no less painful because we're pushing out the things that are life-giving. We're pushing out the Word of God. We're pushing out the words of life in favour of words really that bring no value, no substance to the human life, and certainly no eternal value as well. So this is where we sit at the moment. It's really, you know, a finely balanced state in Australia. And so it's going to tip either way. And unfortunately, we see the scales tipping in favour of a radical kind of communist future.
Yeah, and as you say, very interesting, the things happening at the same time. It's not just the church or people of faith withdrawing from culture and not standing up for the truth of God's word and biblical principles and values, religious freedom, things like that anymore, but the left, the enemies of God, pushing Christians out of the public square. So these things are going hand in hand. They're happening at the same time. And that's what's really disappointing. It, like you said, it's not just the left. Enemies of God have been at it, you know, for thousands of years, right? But yeah. Also what I'm seeing, Dean, is what's happening in Australia. You had a communist leader, or have, but he was reelected a couple years ago. And I'm thinking, boy, isn't there an interesting parallel with what just happened in New York City? Because America's very, we're in a dangerous place right now because we've got too many Christians over the decades have withdrawn from making the voices of truth, sanity, common sense, God's word, and the gospel known in culture or in their sphere of influence, while at the same time, enemies of God have pushed God out of every major institution, government, corporations, the university system, the education system, Hollywood, media. So we remove God and Christian influence, and the church has backed out. So we're not far behind, I hate to say it, Australia. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, in Australia, Anthony Albanese, he was elected in 2022, re-elected in 2025, to the great surprise of many people, because he didn't prove himself as a leader. He's not a leader. He is historically an activist, and that's where he's most comfortable. And what's been proven, particularly since the Bondi terrorist attack, he doesn't have leadership qualities. He shouldn't be anywhere near the prime ministerial office. But what's most surprising, unlike America, where voting isn't mandatory, in Australia it is. So we really get a good snapshot of where the public mindset is when people go to the polls, because everybody is required to vote. And so I guess it just reinforces the fact that, like in America, you know, you've got younger people who have this socialist mindset who are thinking in their mind that, well, capitalism isn't working, so let's try something else. And I really think this is where the public are driving this conversation differently, because in their mind, and certainly within the education system here and no doubt in America, they've been led to believe that a capitalist society cannot succeed, that capitalism has failed the world, and we must therefore go in another direction. And there you have it. Quite conveniently, here is socialism, communism, Marxism, which is now held up. It's almost as if it's been pre-planned that, okay, well, we'll let capitalism go so far, we'll allow it to fail, or we'll deliberately make it fail, so then we can come in with socialism, Marxism, communism. I mean, the cynic in all of us, David, would say that this has been planned, and there will be a collapse at some stage, and then obviously what will come in behind that is a Marxist society that nobody really wants, because I think people romanticize what socialism looks like. But as Margaret Thatcher used to say, the problem with socialism is eventually you run out of other people's money.
True. Fact check true throughout world history. Fact check true. So Dean, I want to just quote you in an email, and then we'll talk about your article. You were talking about recently the pro-Palestinian movement, people that were protesting and chanting, and apparently they were saying things. I haven't, maybe I'm just hear this on the news reports in America, but in Australia, you said they were chanting, all Zionists are terrorists. And you say, how ironic that people aligned with an actual terrorist organization would accuse us of being terrorists. Yet this is the Isaiah 5:20 world that we live in, where evil is called good, good is called evil. Talk to us a little bit about that, because we know Satan is the father of lies and the accuser of the brethren, and they're accusing us of being terrorists. It's kind of, truth is flipped on its head. Go ahead and share whatever you'd like.
Absolutely. It's the inversion. It's the moral inversion that we see, and frustratingly we see throughout the world. But as you say, Isaiah 5:20 is in effect. And so, look, sadly, most of your listeners and viewers would be aware of the Bondi terrorist attack, which happened on the 14th of December. So things went quiet. Obviously, we had the intervening Christmas period, and it seemed that the people who were so radical in leading these protests and attending these protests and being very vocal around their globalizing the Intifada, they seemed to go back a retreat for a few weeks. And we thought that there might be some change. We thought that this event might have shocked the moral compass of some people into action, and that they would reflect on what they were doing and how this perpetuated violence. But very sadly, after the new year, the pro-Palestinian protests have started up again. So just this, at the time of recording, just our last Saturday, the 11th of January, there were more protests, and this was in Melbourne. And unfortunately, we caught a news snippet where some guy was using a megaphone to shout, all Zionists are terrorists. So as you said, David, you know, it's deeply ironic, and that, you know, someone aligned with Hamas would, a terrorist organization, a declared terrorist organization, wow, would claim that Zionists, and let's not forget that we are Zionists, because a Zionist is simply someone who believes that Israel has a right to be in their ancient homeland. And so, unfortunately, this is now the mindset. They seem to come up with these clever little slogans, and now they've come up with a new one, all Zionists are terrorists. And look, this, again, is just the evil of the satanically driven pro-Palestinian movement. It does not seem to rationalize what rhetoric it's spewing forward. And unfortunately, they're not just offending Jews, but remnant believers as well, who, you know, firmly put themselves in the Zionist camp. So according to them, we are now terrorists. David?
Well, yeah, and you know, when you remove truth and when you don't really know all the facts, it's easy to fall for the propaganda. And that's what these, you know, enemies of God are putting out. Now, I'll just call it is a demonic movement. I want to quote from your article, the students of Palestine. There was a visit from, I guess, someone from Israel who was coming to visit.
He's come, yeah.
Yeah,
Isaac Herzog is scheduled to visit. He hasn't come yet, but this is really what whipped them into a frenzy. It seemed that this had awakened them from their slumber after Bondi. And so the moment they heard that Isaac Herzog had been invited by Anthony Albanese to come to Australia, which is more than fair enough. He's a Jewish leader, a head of state, who is being invited to Australia to visit the site of the worst terrorist attack on Australian soil, and it's against the Jewish community, the rational mind would say that's more than fair. That's more than okay. He wants to pay his respects. He wants to encourage the Jewish community.
Yes.
But again, in the pro-Palestinian mindset, you see, what's happening is that they feel that they're fighting for the justice of the Palestinians. This is the warped mindset. They are equating the term globalize the Intifada as being equivalent to seeking justice for the Palestinians. The reality is that, as we know, and as people have been warning about for a number of years now, the term globalize the Intifada is not a call to justice, it's a call to violence. And so this has been the frustration. The Jewish community and a lot of Christian leaders have been warning governments the world over that this phrase will lead to violence. They didn't listen. And so, unfortunately, on the 14th of December, 2025, in Australia, it led to violence when two men picked up high-powered rifles and shotguns and sought an elevated position and fired upon peaceful Jewish families who were simply there at the beachside, beautiful Sunday night, to light the first Hanukkah candle. Now, this is evil, and anyone associated with the pro-Palestinian movement, this is a reckoning. You have to reflect on what's happened, and your entire movement, and particularly the phrase globalize the intifada, and see what this has led to.
Yep.
Now, I know some police forces around the world, the UK in particular, have now recognized, and some areas, some states have sought to ban the phrase, which is fantastic. But again, it took the blood of Jewish lives for people to get to this point. And this is what's most disappointing, because we could see this happening. Nobody would take action. And now we see, and in some ways we're pleased to see, Anthony Albanese and some state leaders in Australia beginning to take action. But unfortunately for the families that are grieving, it's too late.
Mm. Yeah, and I just want to mention and have you respond a little bit further to the propaganda. What they put out there is really amazing. I'm referring to the Students of Palestine. They said this: amid these atrocities, the Australian political establishment is weaponizing the Bondi massacre to crush Palestine solidarity. How dare they? And this is so on its face. It's so ridiculous. But I guess they wouldn't say that if they didn't think enough people would maybe buy into it. Go ahead, Dean, share your thoughts on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and as you touched on before, David, this is the whole intention of propaganda. It takes people who are otherwise uneducated in a certain area. It fills them with something that seems genuine and seems true. And unfortunately, they just get swept up in the masses. And I mean, we had very large protests in Sydney and Melbourne were the bulk of the protests, because that is where the most of the Muslim presence is in Australia. And unfortunately, you've got Australians who are, as I said, I'm not being nasty, but they're uneducated in this area. They don't know the history of Israel. I mean, the pro-Palestinian movement is a case of identity theft.
Yes.
You know, how would you like it if someone came into your home, took all of your possessions, took your identity, recognized that you'd been living there for all of your life, but they come along in the last few years and say, look, you get out. I'm going to take over your life now. I'm the true occupant and owner of this place. And the police are there just saying, well, we support this guy who's come along at the last minute and not the homeowner. This is, if you put that in very simplistic terms, this is the lunacy of the argument, particularly when you look at some of the archaeology of Israel that they're discovering on a daily basis.
Yes.
The historical connection is there. It's not up for debate. And yet, again, because we've got so much deception, which is satanically driven in this age, the enemy has blinded the minds of people. And unfortunately, that people just get swept up in it. And again, you know, as I finished in one of the articles, you know, I said, unfortunately, until the world recognizes the true source of anti-Semitism, which is Satan, then they're going to be blind to the true answer to anti-Semitism, which is Jesus Christ. And I made the point in one of the articles that any Christian who truly loves and obeys Jesus, it's unthinkable for them to kindle hate against Jews.
Yes.
So I know that we've got some Christians supposedly, and there's a couple of well-known names on the supposed Christian right in America, but to kindle hatred against Jewish people and say that you're a Christian, it doesn't make sense.
So I think we need to understand and align these people with King Herod in the Bible. And we forget this. We skim over this every Christmas, where King Herod went out and killed every Jewish baby 2 years old and under. This wicked king did. Why? Because he didn't kill every, you know, Gentile or Palestinian baby. No, because Jesus was known as the King of the Jews, and that was a threat to King Herod. We forget about this. So if you are on the side, now I know we have maybe even some that are listening or watching that might disagree with you or me, and that's okay, friends. We can agree to disagree. But biblically speaking, We have to understand Jesus. Jesus is our Messiah. That was his background. Then, biblically speaking, let's understand the land and what God promised and the covenants in the Old Testament. Now, Dean, what you said was very interesting. You said, and I'll say this, aside from what the Bible teaches, archaeology and world history, there is a record of what is found there, who lived where. Israel had this land, and they lived there, which is, it really is amazing to me that people can fall for some of these lies. Go ahead, share your thoughts.
Absolutely. And I mean, the archaeological evidence isn't just centered in Israel either. I mean, you've got evidence in Egypt, where you've got ancient steles, where Israel is mentioned. You've got the tombs of Esther and Mordecai in Iran, which still exists to this day. Yeah. So you've got evidence throughout the Middle East. But again, it comes back down to the fact that it doesn't work for the propaganda. So, and we know that there have been Muslim groups who have destroyed evidence from the Temple Mount, connecting the Jewish presence back to the Temple Mount and to Israel as well. So you're not only going through a process of identity theft, you're going through a process of property destruction as well.
Yeah.
And so this whole movement is built on deceit. And again, I think there needs to be a reckoning. And, you know, it started in some ways with the political class. They've finally been woken up to the fact that something needs to be done about anti-Semitism in this nation. But it also needs to filter down culturally as well and socially. And this is where we need more voices to be bringing the facts, the indisputable facts, particularly pointing back to some of the archaeological evidence, because you can't dispute that. But again, it becomes convenient to either overlook it or destroy it, all for the sake of continuing this line of thought. Again, it all comes back to Satan. This is his agenda.
Yeah.
And let's not forget that, you know, in the future, once the prophetic program unfolds and then we get to the millennial kingdom, the millennial kingdom is Israel-centered. You know, Jesus comes back to rule and reign from Jerusalem. So Israel is still highly important in God's program. And unfortunately, you know, there are many churches in Australia who've been infected with replacement theology and amillennial doctrine. And so if you wipe out the kingdom program and any future for God's people, well, you're going to distort the meaning of the scriptures and obviously a future plan for Israel.
Yeah. So, Dean, before we run out of time, you mentioned in your article something I don't understand here as far as how we work our government in the States here. But you mentioned something about a royal commission and some sort of investigation, or how would that work? And what can you tell us about what that is all about?
Yeah, sure. By the time I wrote the article, there was still some debate around whether the royal commission would be implemented. And so it has now been. And so what the royal commission will do is that it will look to identify what went wrong, what happened in the lead up to this event. Now, royal commissions, they don't happen often. They are an extensive investigation and they're an expensive investigation as well. So this is why they aren't often called in Australia. But essentially, the purpose is going to be threefold for the royal commission. It's going to look to find out why specific events happened. And obviously, we're talking about the Bondi terrorist attack. It aims to identify who was accountable, which is going to be extremely important in this scenario. And then it will make certain recommendations about changes to policy, procedures, laws, etc. So the Royal Commission, Anthony Albanese did bow to pressure because he was very resistant for a while. But there was really a grassroots movement amongst Christians, amongst other leaders, Jewish leaders, business leaders, to really push for this. Because, again, this was the worst terrorist attack on Australian soil. It was against the Jewish community. We've been, you know, allowing in this country since October 7 these constant protests, again, which not only have chance of globalised the Intifada, we had the Opera House scenario where people were saying gas the Jews. And, you know, at some of these protests, you saw Islamic State flags. Now, that's a real problem. And as I said, anyone could see where this was leading. But again, you've got this fine balance around the right to protest. But, you know, when the right to protest is really calling for genocide, then that's a problem. And so We'll see what comes out of the Royal Commission, but at this stage it's been called. Its findings are going to take a year or two because it'll go through an extensive process. So we will see. But in the meantime, Anthony Albanese is looking to introduce some hate speech laws, which again is problematic. And I think he probably feels that this is the right thing to do because it's specifically to deal with anti-Semitism. But there's some provisions in the bill which have us concerned as believers. And so it remains to be seen where this will all go. But unfortunately, I think it might restrict some freedom of speech in certain areas.
So, Pastor Dean Dwyer, we've got just 2 minutes left, and we've got viewers mainly from North America, but we do have some in Australia and a couple other countries. But what would you encourage the body of Christ to do, or how can we keep, what can we keep an eye on, or how can we respond with all that's happening and obviously watching for Jesus and being discerning? But what, just share your thoughts and just some encouragement.
Absolutely. I mean, I referenced Esther before, and Esther is one of those books that, you know, we seem to skip over as Christians, but there's great lessons in Esther. And, you know, one of them, as we well know, David, is the phrase, you were born for such a time as this, you know, and for all of us to recognize that it's no accident that we're in this age. God has equipped us with a mind that works. He's given us the scriptures, which he's preserved down through the centuries, and he's put us in trusted remnant churches where we can serve and worship him. And he's connected us with great ministries like yours and like Harbingers Daily and so many others around the world. So utilize them, you know, lean on each other, utilize those ministries, utilize their content, continue to stay in the word and to stay engaged with, you know, trusted ministries, because the deception is only going to grow worse. And yes, it's incumbent upon us to be able to know the information, know the facts, so that we're able to not only encourage the body of Christ, but also to lovingly correct those who might be wrong in certain areas as well. Because, as I said, not only does this have temporal value, but it has eternal value as well. You're born for such a time as this. Hang in there. I know it's tough and it's getting tougher, but hang in there. God is sovereign, and he'll work it out.
Amen, friends. We strengthen your faith. Make sure you're in the Word. We are doing our best to understand what the Bible teaches in light of what's happening in our world, but also strengthen and encourage other believers in Christ. Let's rally the remnant in these last days. Who knows how much time we have. We need to redeem the time. Brother Dean Dwyer, thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
So good to see you. Friends, thanks for sharing the podcast and for your support. God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.